Today on Bread for the Broken with James Grizzle, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Galveston.
Because you can show up and you can quote verses and stuff like that, but they may not hear that. So can you share the gospel in other ways? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. The book of Romans tells us that God has made himself evident in nature. He's clearly known. He's revealed himself. Just step outside. And he's like, hey, my signature's on everything. It's on everything. So you could talk to people about the beauty of creation.
In today's message, Pastor James will share with you how you can share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. For most people, if you start quoting scripture, they won't often respond well. And if you use very religious language, people will often dismiss what you have to say. One of the best ways that you can share about Jesus is through people's interests. Know someone who loves nature? Share with them about how God created all that we know and see. Connecting in this way is simple and it's effective. Now here's Pastor James in the book of Acts chapter 17 with today's edition of Bread for the Broken.
We need bread for the broken. Give some bread to the broken. We need hope for the hopeless. Give some hope to the hopeless, hopeless. Bread for the broken, broken.
Right? Like, because sometimes we think that of like, what if I encounter somebody who is like so much more smarter than I am? You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And here's the number one reason why it does not matter. The Holy Spirit will give you the words you need in engaging people in conversations, especially when you're bringing it to the gospel. The Holy Spirit will provide you the words that you need. You do not need to worry about impressing people with what you know. You should be more concerned about who you know and the fact that they should know him, right? I've had conversations with people who are like, just through the roof, way smarter than I am. I mean, like, completely. And they talk about stuff, and I'm like, I don't even know what you're saying. I have no idea. Like, you might as well be speaking a foreign language to me because I'm not tracking with you. Like, I have no clue. I have no clue. But it doesn't matter. You can still engage people. And regardless of intellectual levels and all that stuff, it does not matter. It doesn't matter. And you should never let that keep you from talking to anybody. Can you talk to university professors? Of course. Of course. Jay, number one, just because they're there doesn't mean they're the smartest. All right? So let's never forget that. There's a whole system to picking profs in colleges and stuff. But you should never let it intimidate you. You should never let it keep you from sharing the gospel. If the Lord says, hey, go share the gospel with them, you can trust that if he's telling you to go and do that, he's probably going to direct that conversation how he would like it to go. They may ask you questions that are difficult, that you don't know the answer to. Please, Christians, tell them that you don't know the answer. It's okay. It is perfectly fine not to know stuff, even about what you believe in. Okay, but that just means you need to do your homework. That just means you need to try. You know, you need to dig into the word a little bit more because they may bring up stuff that's like, oh man, I didn't know that that was a thing. I had no clue. I didn't know there were so many inaccuracies within the Bible, right? Because that's one thing. But so what do? You dig into it. You figure out why, where they're coming from. But you could say like, I don't know. Well, what about this? Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. But I'll find out. Let's meet again. Give me a week. Give me a few days. Let me do my homework, and then let's have coffee, you know, and then we'll meet, and I'll see if I can address your questions or your concerns. That's what the church needs to be doing. No more of this like, well, let me just talk a lot and see if that answer just maybe kind of comes out of my mouth miraculously. It might happen, but it's probably not going to, okay? So it's perfectly fine just saying like, I don't know. But you have to take the next step and say, but let me write that down and go do some research. And I'll find out for you. That's the best way. That's the best way to handle these things. Because for so long, the world has just thought that the church is just, for the most part, kind of arrogant in one sense, as if we have all the answers. Because sometimes we pretend like we have all the answers when in fact, we don't have all the answers. And we still struggle in this life, just like everybody else, and trying to figure out like, well, why is that like that? Do your homework. Be okay with not knowing everything. Because, listen, none of us know everything. Seems like most of us in here have survived our teenage years, and we've discovered, hopefully, that well, I don't know hardly anything. The older I get, the more I realize I just don't know that much. I thought I did. Now I don't. Now I'm like, oh, my gosh. Oh, well. But, hey, if that brings us to a place of discovery, then do the work. Do the work. No, there's no room for laziness in Christianity. None. Do the work. Do the hard things. Hard thing is studying your Bible. Hard thing is approaching those questions and finding answers for those questions. And it may take you days, weeks, months, years. But do the work. Do the work. Be diligent. Be diligent in this. Paul's having a debate with these guys. And so he shares with them. It says there, the rest of verse 18, it says, when he told them about Jesus and his resurrection, they said, this babbler, that's kind of a mocking term, okay? This isn't a compliment. This babbler has picked up on some strange ideas. Others said, he's pushing some foreign religion. Okay? So Paul, in his debating with the Epicureans and the Stoic philosophers, he is sharing with them about Jesus and his resurrection. Okay? This was key for these guys because these guys, for them to, the notion of resurrection was like, why in the world would you want to come back from the dead? Like everything material is evil. So if we resurrect from the dead, we come back and I'm in this body again. Well, this body is basically evil. So why would I want to come back into an evil body? That's kind of where they were at philosophically. So Paul's like, no, Jesus, he died on the cross. He rose from the grave. He's just given them the gospel. And they're like, ah, this babbler, where's this guy from? He's just staying on track though. I'm going to share the gospel and I'm going to see where this takes me. So where it takes him is to the council of the philosophers, if I can speak, the Areopagus or Mars Hill, okay? So it says, verse 19, they took him to the council of the philosophers, or they took him to Mars Hill. Come and tell us more about this new religion. And yes, it was technically a new, not so much a religion, but it is a new idea. It's a new idea. They said, verse 20, you were saying some rather startling things, and we want to know what it's all about. Verse 21, it should be explained that all the Athenians, as well as foreigners in Athens, seem to spend all their time discussing the latest ideas. These people just sat around and talked and just told stories to each other, basically. And when travelers would come in, they'd be like, all right, so tell us what you've heard, what you know, okay? They loved current events. They loved learning new things. I mean, they were in the right city for this. This is probably what has drawn most of these people to that city. They loved learning. They loved hearing some of these stories. And what Paul was saying intrigued them. And so they wanted to hear more about it. Tell us more, which is a great thing. That's a great invitation. Okay. Even though they're calling him a babbler, which is a mocking that is happening. Okay, they're mocking him technically, but there's an opportunity. And what would we do with that same opportunity? I mean, if it's me and you call me a babbler, then I'm probably going to be insulted and I'm not going to have any more dealings with you. I'm going to be like, wait, hold on. Like, no. Okay, I'm not going to let you insult me. And I just walk away, right? It's kind of normally what I do. But Paul's like, all right, I'll take that. I'll take that. I'm not offended by that. I'm not offended by that. You can call me what you want. That's fine. I'm just looking for my open door. And they gave him they didn't just open the door to him. They escorted him through the door to the chief council that was happening there. He had a tremendous audience. They took him right up there to the council of the philosophers, this Areopagus, and this is a group of leading thinkers within this city. They were the authority, so to speak. So they want to hear more. And Paul, this is what he does. This is what he tells them. I should probably turn my page because, you know, that's good. You know, turning your Bible page is a good thing. I don't know if you know that, but you can't read the next verse if you don't turn the page. As I'm staring at my Bible thinking like, where'd the verse go? It's on the other page. Yeah. Welcome to my world. Such is my life, so shall my preaching be. That's my motto. I got that from Britt Merrick. There you go. It's not pretty. It's not always pretty. And it's certainly not professional, but it's from the heart. So there you go. There you go. Verse 22. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I noticed, that's key, I noticed, okay, I observed that you are very religious. Well, that's nice. Kinda, I guess. Paul's walking around. He's like, yeah. He's like, you guys are like super religious. You're not just very religious. You are blatantly religious. I mean, it is everywhere. It's in a sense, it's like there's a church on every street corner. You are hyper religious. It doesn't mean much, but it is an observation that Paul had made when he cruised around the city, and he took in the sights and the sounds and the smells of Athens, when he became familiar with the city where God had allowed him to come to. So he's taking notes of the city as he's cruising around Galveston. He's like, you guys like to throw a lot of parties here, huh? Yeah, you guys celebrate everything, whether it's Mardi Gras to bikers to you name it. This is a party town. That's what Paul would say about us here in Galveston. Okay? He probably has some other observations as well, but for Athens, he's like, I've noticed you guys are very religious. He says, for I was walking along, and I saw your many altars. Not idols, so to speak, or not statues and all this stuff. These are altars. Okay? These are places where people would bow down, sort of, in one sense, to worship. He says, and one of them had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. You've been worshiping him without knowing who he is, and now I wish to tell you about him. This is why you have to know your surroundings. This is why you need to go exploring. This is why, because if you don't, then you miss one idol, one altar in the sea of many altars that's been ascribed to the unknown God. Why the unknown God? Just in case we miss something. Just in case we miss something. We got our crop God, we got our rain God, we got our home and auto God and all this stuff. So this unknown one, he'll just cover everything that we missed, right? There's this one, and he's in the city. I don't know where he's at where this statue was at in the city, but Paul noticed it. And it probably was the Holy Spirit just like awakening his mind to say, hey, take notice of this. We're going to use this. We're going to use this one. So he says, I notice. What I also appreciate about this is they were acknowledging their ignorance. The smartest people on the planet had to come to this realization that they are ignorant about some things. That's a good place. John Stott says this, the Athenians have acknowledged in their altar inscription that they are ignorant of God. And Paul has been given evidence of their ignorance, so he notices this. Now he declares such ignorance to be culpable, meaning their time of ignorance is over, because now I'm going to enlighten you to who this God is. So now you can't walk around being ignorant anymore about who God is, because I'm going to tell you who he is. I'm going to solve this mystery for you. Paul says, I wish to tell you about him. Verse 24, he is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs. For he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need there is. From one man, he created all the nations. Wow, that's a good word today. From one man came all the nations. Huh, yeah, interesting. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand which should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. I love this. Paul would go into the synagogues, and what he would do this. He would teach to them from their scriptures. He shows up here at Mars Hill, and he's going to share with them from their scriptures, so to speak. He starts with creation. They don't have a Bible. They don't read the Bible. Probably don't care much about the Bible. But Paul's like, let me meet you where you're at. Let me meet you where you're at. Because you can show up and you can quote verses and stuff like that, but they may not hear that. So can you share the gospel in other ways? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. The book of Romans tells us that God has made himself evident in nature. He's clearly known. He's revealed himself. Just step outside. And he's like, hey, my signature's on everything. It's on everything. So you could talk to people about the beauty of creation, and you can lead that conversation towards Jesus. You can do that. You absolutely can. And then you can bring in scriptures. But you can start the conversation off with like, hey, so you care a lot about creation. You care a lot about nature. Well, let's talk about nature. Let's talk about this great artist who constantly paints the most beautiful sunrises and the most beautiful sunsets. Let's talk about this creator who has caused all these beautiful different flowers to bloom, when they bloom and where they bloom and the different colors and how he can use that and these different trees and a whole different, you know, all the stuff. We can talk about those things and drive that conversation to Jesus. Jesus was a very active participant within creation itself. So Paul shows up and he's like, I'm going to talk to these guys. These guys don't read the Bible. They don't read the Bible. They weren't at the synagogue when I was teaching there. These guys don't have time for that. So what do I do? Well, back in, you know, in the Pentateuch, you know, this, and they're going to be like, what? The pen of what? No. No, it's like, let me tell you about this unknown God. Let me tell you about this God that you worship, but you don't even know who he is. And let's start back with creation. Let's start back with creation. Always a good place to go. Always a good place to go. He made the whole world. He made everything in it. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. He doesn't live in man-made temples. This is key to these guys, because what they would do is erect these temples and all these beautiful monuments to these gods to try to appease these gods. Because if we build them a super nice house and all this stuff, then maybe they won't kill us. Maybe they won't squash us. Maybe they'll make it rain. Paul's like, no, that's not how God works. That's not how he works. This one unknown God, let me tell you how he works. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need you to build him a house. He doesn't need you to carve an image for him. He's made all that stuff. He doesn't need you to give it back to him in that sense. He doesn't need you carving out some cool little idol. He's like, he doesn't need that. He doesn't want that. What he wants is you. What he wants is a relationship with you. He knows how cool ivory is and all that stuff and the columns. He made it all. It doesn't exist without him. So he's like, I don't want that. I want you. Because nature is not created in the image of God. Mankind is created in the image of God. He just wants us. He just wants us. Human hands can't serve his needs. He has no needs. If he had needs, he wouldn't be worthy of worshiping. He wouldn't be worthy of serving. If you got a God who needs something from you because he is not capable of producing it himself, you need to find a new God. That's lowercase g. That's not capital G, right? And Paul's like, no, this unknown God, he doesn't need anything from you. He's got it figured out. He's brilliant. He's got it. He doesn't need us, but he wants us. Doesn't need us, but he wants us. It says, for he himself has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything. He satisfies every need there is. So here's the incredible thing is Paul's just dropping this cool little message on these guys. He's like, he doesn't need us to do anything for him. In fact, he's willing to do and to give to us what we need. Paul would even say, my God shall supply all of your needs. You got needs? Here's the thing. You got a really good God who cares about those needs. And you can cry out to him at any moment in time and say, Lord, I need you. I need you. Now, oftentimes, we mistake a need for a want. God, I really want this. No, I need that. And he's like, sounds like you really want it, right? Like, need, let's redefine the terms, okay? But there are definitely times where, man, there's just times where it's like, Lord, I need you. I need you right now. Like, you have to show up right now. That was me before the service started when my brain is like, my head is like, I'm like, Jesus, you have to show up now. You have to. You have to, because I won't be able to read when this thing sets in. And as a good shepherd, he comes alongside and says, I got you. I got you. He knows how to take care of our needs. Now, it would have been nice if that would have never happened. But that's not how it works. That's not how it works. Because if it never worked, I mean, if it always worked out that way, we wouldn't be crying out to him. We wouldn't be crying out to him. But he knows how to take care of our needs. He knows how to satisfy our needs. It says, from one man he created all nations. So it's from Adam to Noah to you. And he knows how to set you up in the boundaries and who lives where and all this good stuff. It's a brilliant, beautiful plan by God. The different people and ethnicities and where they live and all that stuff. It is absolutely brilliant. Brilliant. And with skin pigmentation, some have more of it than others, and there's a reason for that, and it's so cool, and it's amazing, and it's just brilliant. As we've been listening to Miles McPherson, and I don't know if you know Miles, but pastor at The Rock in San Diego, and he did this, he put out a book, and I'm halfway through it. It's really good. It's called The Third Option. Everybody should buy it and read it. Read it. It's amazing. But we've been watching as a family. We've started the first video of that, as he's sharing with the church, and he's just talking about, you know, for him, what it's like growing up and just trying to bring this third option of like, it's not us and then, you know, it's not we're picking this side or we're picking that side. No, we're picking Jesus's side. That's where we're coming from. And he talks about just the beauty of like, some people are born in the womb with a really nice tan. That's really cool. Some of us will pay money to go or to go spend time on the beach so we can get the darker skin. But the Lord, I mean, it's just beautiful how God has done it to where it's all just part of his creative ability. And we should celebrate that. We should absolutely celebrate that. It is amazing.
Hope, the hopeless, hopeless, pray for the broken.
That's all we have time for today on Bread for the Broken. We're so glad that you joined us as Pastor James Grizzle teaches through the book of Acts. If you'd like to hear today's teaching again or listen to more verse-by-verse teachings from Pastor James, visit breadforthebroken.com and click on the Teachings tab. While you're visiting breadforthebroken.com, you'll also be able to learn more about the church behind the ministry of Bread for the Broken. At Calvary Galveston, we strive to love and live as Jesus did. We're just ordinary people discovering extraordinary truths from the Bible together. As we continue to journey through the book of Acts, our prayer is that your faith is inspired to move, that when you read about the early church, you rediscover the purpose that God has for your life. You might think you're just ordinary, but God sees you deeper, and he knows that you're more than that. Being obedient to the calling that God has on your life might not always make sense, but God blesses those who are faithful to answer his call. And you never know what incredible things God has in store when you freely say, "Yes, Lord." If you're ever in the Galveston area, we would love to have you come visit. Or if you're looking for a new church home, you're always welcome. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. to start the week out right with worship. Our atmosphere is pretty relaxed, so feel free to come just as you are. Find out more and plan your visit by going to our website, breadforthebroken.com. As you go throughout the rest of your day, may you find hope and new life in Jesus.
Let me paint the picture of you.